Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with me as we talk to him typically every Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew.
Oh, it's always great to have you. Let's start with, I don't know if it's fun or it's interesting, whatever. You were in Washington, D.C. For a couple of days, and you got to meet with some of the senior staff from the White House or, sort of second or third levels in departments and stuff. And you mentioned that one of the folks that you got to meet with, that you were talking with them about the executive order that President Trump has issued on homelessness, and you want to talk with the Homelessness Reduction Task Force and so forth. What does that mean for us? What did you bring back?
Yeah, it was certainly a great opportunity with about 30 other mayors around the country, and certainly appreciate the Trump administration and the Intergovernmental Affairs Office for helping set that up and what should be first of many to come. And ultimately, it was a kind of a direct line to President Trump's thoughts in these specific departments and how they impact cities. So again, deputy secretaries from HUD, from the Small Business Administration, USDOT, ICE, and then in the case of the homelessness executive order that came out this summer, was his domestic policy team. And there's just a lot of interesting things that it's one thing to read an executive order. It's another to hear the why. I think that goes for my job and everybody else's job. And what the priorities are going to be. And so on the plus side, certainly this administration wants to put money towards this, that there's been some concerted efforts of trying to reduce the amount of the unhoused population, and they're going to do that with dollars. And the thing that really seemed to be the linchpin, and something we'll be discussing with all of our amazing homeless reduction groups here, is there's going to be a specific focus in any treatment, any nonprofits, any of these organizations, NGOs that are going to get federal funding to reduce homelessness, there's going to be mandatory mental health or addiction treatment. In other words, and I'm not saying that that's an issue here, but as much, but in bigger cities, what was happening is there were organizations getting tons of money, and maybe it would be a low barrier shelter, and the treatment aspect of the low barrier shelter would be optional. And so what they said was, one, we didn't have any way to track if the dollars were being used efficiently vis-a-vis successfully, like getting people off the street. There was no tracking method. And then second was, this administration's not interested in the idea of funding for this amount of money organizations that may allow that type of treatment to give that person truly the hand up that we talk about, and that it be optional, and that it just really become a rotating, cyclical issue where someone comes in, gets a bed for a week, goes back out on the street, comes back in, et cetera. Yeah. So that they're going to have a hyper focus within that EO that he put out in July on making sure that the dollars are going. And they said, listen, it might be to fewer groups. It may not be to 35 groups. It might be to 5 or 7 groups, and giving them more dollars to attack these issues. And so we'll continue to have that conversation with them. They're looking for cities and sites like ours, these small and mid-market communities where they can be successful. And so that was certainly good news to hear as well.
Okay, and I thought I heard you say, I just want to sum up to make sure that I did hear you say it accurately, that they are so goal-oriented on getting a truly good outcome that saying no to some groups in order to get better outcomes for the ones that they are actually willing to help, even if it costs more per person or something like that, it's better than scattering the money around and not really getting the outcome. That's the general gist, right?
Right. With the fundamental anchor that you must be getting mandatory addiction or mental health treatment. You can't be using funds for just the bed and not requiring those folks using the bed to be participating in those if they need them.
Which is perfectly, in my mind, perfectly fine for people to do through their own charity, but if the government's going to do it, they're going to do it a certain way, and that makes sense to me. The Palafox, Reimagine Palafox, that's been obviously the big discussion because I know a lot of people are concerned about what this is going to mean if we close down Palafox for a significant period of time in order to resurface and redesign it. But you gave a lot of good information yesterday, especially trying to give perspective on the issue of, well, if we're spending all this money, it means we have all this money to spend. Why don't we do something else?
Yeah, Right. Again, I think that's my number one explanatory diatribe this day and age with any project happening in the city. And this is a perfect example. As I explained to the media yesterday, not $1 of the $10.3 million proposed, not one, can be spent. It either needs to be spent, in the urban core CRA geographically, which is just you kind of generally the downtown area. It cannot be, not a dime of that money can be spent anywhere else. And all of the other funding is either from FPL, which is their $3 million obligation. If you go to Palafox right now, there's all those utility cuts in the road. They owed us money to finish their project, which we had them pause, and they just gave us the check. So that money can go to nothing else than, other than Palafox. And lastly, is complete streets money. So those are the only three buckets of money that are coming for the $10.3 million. In other words, if you had a preference to do Alkene Street instead of Palafox Street, and that is your argument to say that's why we shouldn't do it, then that would be legitimate. Saying why we don't do something else in some part of the city would be illegal based
like
on
Babe Bluffs Park
on the
or something,
and,
right?
And the funding plan. Correct. And so that is the biggest misnomer in my job, is that someone reads a headline that says a project costs X amount, and that means why aren't you, Mayor, why is that a priority? Why aren't you doing this? Well, because that would be illegal to do whatever you propose, because those dollars aren't allowed to be spent on those things. So Andrew, I talked about it at the Hollis T. Williams meeting last night. They were talking about additional funding for phases. And they said, well, what does that mean for tax dollars? And what I explained was there's $22 million of property tax that goes into our general fund that doesn't go to CRA. And there's $48 million of expense for just police and fire. So if you're concerned about property tax going to Palafox or going to Bay Bluffs, rest assured there isn't general fund property tax revenue going to those projects, because we can't even cover half of our law enforcement expense with our general fund revenue. So, so we always have to be looking for grants or be using CRA dollars, et cetera, to be able to fund capital projects like this. And if you go around the city, whether it be American Magic, Fricker Center, Hollis T. Williams, Palafox Street, this is all of that work that we put in a couple of years ago that in many of these, not in Palafox, but in the others, where we were getting $100+ million of grant money. This is the fruits of that labor that we're talking about in these huge transformational projects. It is not property tax or money that can be conveyed to whatever project they prioritize.
I just don't think that it's fair of you to try to explain how government actually works when people want to believe it works how they want it to work. I mean, it's just it's completely irrational of you, Mr. Mayor. We're talking to D.C. Rees, Mayor of Pensacola. What's ahead?
It's a losing battle.
But the job is the job. You know, sometimes it's do, sometimes it's educate. And I jest, but it is true. I mean, you know, people don't know. And if they don't know, they don't know. And that's all you can do with it and try to educate them. That's just the way it works. One of the obviously big story, ongoing story, is dealing with the Baptist property. And as I understand the situation, is you've got a handful of properties that you're not quite sure what to do with. The county has expressed an interest in two of them, and you have basically said, well, I don't want to wait 5 years to get something done. I'm interested in seeing if somebody else is interested in those properties. Let's list them. And while we list them, let's be open to conversations with the county about how they can use them, and let's just kind of see what happens so we know where we stand. We can always say no to anything. Is that the idea?
Yeah, perfectly described. There was conversation of, well, what about putting signs in the yard? And let me make a clear delineation. There is no property going on the market for the main campus that we've been talking about for 2 years,
right?
The 38 acres. All we're talking about is the additional property that was conveyed from Baptist to the city in the last few months. And so we're talking about three smaller properties on the periphery of Baptist. But yes, you described it exactly correct. Let's see what the market bears. We were left with a $1.5 million delta. We were expecting to get funding from the county. We did not. And so the whole spirit of Baptist, again, us and having a good partnership, saying, hey, we're both staring at a $2 million delta here. How do we want to handle this? That was kind of the way we decided to handle it. And I appreciate Baptist for stepping up and saying, hey, well, here's some additional property that could help cover some of that gap. So that is the whole genesis of why we even have these properties to begin with. And yes, you were correct. We've been in conversations with the county. And listen, it's not whether we have to have something built there in 5 years. The conversation was, $510,000 for a building that was assessed for $900,000 by the property appraiser.
Right.
If we're going to be fellow partners with Escambia County on something like a community center, I'm all for that. But the whole discussion the entire time has been to do it quickly, not to do it in 5 years. And so if we're going to help subsidize a community center by selling it at a discount, then we would want to see action happen faster. And I know Commissioner May, I know Commissioner Kohler, we've talked to them both directly about this. I know that they both understand where we're coming from, that this shouldn't be, you know, a surprise, nor they, I think they do understand that we all want to get something done a little faster than that. So, but still open to conversations with the county, and actually have another meeting with a healthcare provider today to see if there's, you know, whether it be a donation. So we're open to donating property. We're open to selling it at a discount. We're open to selling it at market rate. We've got a $1.5 million delta, and we want to do good things in the community, and we'll find that right mix of the way to handle all of that.
Yeah, and particular, I mean, it doesn't have to be through the county that you do a healthcare facility or that something like that happens. That's what I liked about what you were saying yesterday. Hey, just a quick thing, and I know this is a completely sideways suggestion, but I'm gonna pass it along because it was offered to me by a listener, and I'll just give you a chance to comment. So 38 acres of green space is coming when the demolition is done, right? Roughly, that's what we're gonna have.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How many acres does it take to build that soccer complex you've been talking about?
I have heard this theory before, and way less than that.
Convention center.
But I can tell you as we are looking around before any rumors begin, as we're looking around for a downtown soccer complex, this parcel at this point is not in that consideration.
Okay.
Not because it doesn't have the acreage, but because of, you know, what we've told our community, certainly, that we want to be housed with, anchored with residential education and all of that. But what I also know is people ask, well, when they knock the building down, what's going to be left? Part of the obligation of the demolition is to go back and resod and do all these other things. It is just going to be the broken foundations of a building that once was. There's some obligations. So at least in the meantime, you would be looking at a big green space. So at least, Andrew, you can go play soccer there.
You're not going to do like the county did and put a fence up around OLF-8 and make it so nobody can use it? You're going to leave it open?
Not that I'm aware of. So, we'll find out. You know, I'm going to let experts tell me who is and is not allowed to be on what when.
Speaking of that, if you time it right, maybe if OLF-8 gets cut up and worked on, maybe you can just take grass from there and put it down at Baptist. You know, maybe the timing will work. I think you'll probably need the grass before they're willing to get rid of it. Anyway.
You are watching out for people's tax dollars all the time.
I'm always trying to solve all these problems, right? I'm trying to get these government agencies to cooperate with each other. I did figure that was going to be your answer, and I wanted to, you know, make sure people knew that was the answer, that no, that's not the intent at this point for sure. All right, we always like to end to put the soccer complex there. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round for you. The first question for you is, recently it was Global Hand Washing Day. When you wash your hands, Mr. Mayor, hot water, cold water, mixture, soap, but more importantly, how long?
It's whichever handle I hit, you know, so, it's usually, you
random.
Know, so I'm not a stickler about blazing hot water.
All right.
Ever since COVID, I do have now a much better human counter in my hand. So, the actual seconds depends on how long I've got, before whatever meeting I'm in, but I mean, I give it at least a good 10.
Oh, okay. So fairly long. Okay. You know, fairly devoted. I got you. I mean, you're not scrubbing up for surgery, but you're not just passing it under the water and saying you did it.
Correct.
Okay. Sounds that irritate you. There's actually a disorder of sorts that has now become identified. Mesosonia, I forget what it is. Anyway, but is there a sound that bothers the mayor, distracts the mayor? You cannot function when that sound is happening.
Man, you are setting me up for like a city council, button joke or something.
No. Okay. Can I suggest the clanging of the bracelets on the mics in the city council meetings I twitch. So anyway, go ahead. But you have your answer. What was your answer?
I'm too scared of Councilwoman Broughton. You're gonna have to bring that up to her yourself.
She is an imposing person. She's so sweet.
Anything high pitch, like a high pitch scream, I think is ultimately distracting for me. But No, I don't have a specific sound that I can think of.
All right. Any fear of the dark with you, whether it's in the basement that they don't have in Florida or somewhere else? And related, do you sleep with a nightlight on of any kind?
No nightlight. No darkness issues.
Okay.
I'm thankfully by 41, I've been able to, live with that.
I'll take your shade. That's
that
fine.
Phase, but. are you nervous?
Oh yeah,
I don't like the dark.
I don't like the basement. You know, when I have one, I don't enjoy that at all.
This is why we have such incredibly lit parks around our city. You know, I don't know. I can't speak for other
to towns, serve all but, the citizens. You know, that's right,
Andrew. That's why you don't have to worry about that if you come inside the city limits here in the beautiful city.
Nice wrap on that. I appreciate it, Mayor DC Rees. Look forward to the meeting tomorrow night, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.